Good morning, Next Level Church. It's great to see you this morning. My name is Joseph McMurray. I'm one of the pastors here at Next Level, and it is always a joy to see you. This morning, we are concluding the series that we've been walking through together called Revolutionary, looking at the power that made Christianity revolutionary, which is the gospel. This series has been based on a book by Pastor J.D. Greer of Summit Church in Raleigh that I highly recommend. And as we've walked through this together, we have looked at what Pastor Greer calls the gospel prayer. It's really just a reminder of the gospel in your life on a daily basis. And the gospel prayer that J.D. Greer has written goes like this. It says, "In Christ, there is nothing I can do that would make you love me more, and nothing I have done that makes you love me less. Your presence and approval are all I need for everlasting joy. As you have been to me, so I will be to others. And as I pray, I'll measure your compassion by the cross and your power by the resurrection." This morning, we're going to focus on that last thought, which is, as I pray, I'll measure your compassion by the cross and your power by the resurrection. My wife Lisa and I have been married for 15 years. And when we first got married, we had ideas of how our future would go. We had ideas of how growing a family would be for us. And really, our idea was that at some point down the road, we would have children. But there were things that we wanted to do before we began that process. I wanted to finish seminary. And we wanted to get out of debt. And I wanted to have at least the prospects of a viable career. And I wanted to have a little bit of money in the bank. Well, one of the things that we figured out very early on is that really all I had to do was look at Lisa in a funny way, and she'd get pregnant. It was crazy how that happened. And so 9 months after we were married in April. In December, she came to me and said, "Hey, guess what?" And I was like, "What?" "I'm pregnant." I can't say the things that I said here on the stage. No way. I didn't want to ask the stupid question, how did this happen? But I understand these things. So here I was, 9 months into marriage, getting ready to be 18 months into marriage when our first child is born. Walker was born in September of 2004, nowhere near finished with seminary, barely had a job at all, still in debt, maybe $17 in the bank. That was it. We're like, okay, here we go on this journey. 22 months later, Fletcher made his debut. And like clockwork, 22 months after that, here comes Cooper. It was like boom, 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 2004, 2006, 2008. So when Lisa came to me in 2010 and said, "Hey, guess what? I didn't even have to guess." "Yep, bet you're pregnant, huh?" "Yep, sure enough." What had seemed simple for us in 2004, 2006, 2008 turned into a different experience in 2010 because something was different about this pregnancy. Lisa could just feel it. There was something different, and you moms know exactly what I'm talking about. 11 weeks into that pregnancy, Lisa experienced a miscarriage. And so we walked through the difficulty and the disappointment of that loss. Well, then not quite a year later, 2011, came to me again and said, "Hey, guess what? I guess I know how this goes. You're pregnant." And believe me, every time she came to me with a "Hey, guess what?" I was excited. Maybe the first time I was terrified, but after that, I was excited. "Hey, guess what? She was pregnant again." This time, though, we found out pretty early on in the pregnancy that there were complications. There were things going on as the baby developed and grew that were not quite right and maybe even a little bit unexplainable. the difficulties that the child was having in the womb. And at 18 weeks, ordinarily you would go to hear the baby's heartbeat and get to determine the baby's gender. And so we made that appointment and went to visit the doctor for that 18-week checkup. And you who have experienced it know the anticipation of that moment of the sound that I can't really make the sound, but you know what the sound I'm trying to make. And there's the anticipation of that moment of hearing that sound and then just a gut-wrenching kick to the stomach when there's just silence. And at 18 weeks, we experienced yet another miscarriage and walked through the difficulty and the disappointment of that loss. Lisa wrote in her journal a month later and said this. She said, "When I had my procedure done on June 16th, we asked that chromosome testing be done on the baby. When I was thinking about whether or not I wanted the testing, I didn't think it would really matter, and ultimately it doesn't. But I didn't want to regret not finding out and having it be too late. The results are in, and I'm so relieved and thankful for our decision." Dr. Pixley said that the baby, a little boy, had Down syndrome. In keeping with our little boy name ending in ER pattern, we've named him Tyler Sean McMurray. I'm filled with warmth and love for my sweet baby all over again. I love that our baby has a name. He was real to me before, but he's even more real to me now. For now, I will cry and I will miss him. Taking one day at a time, I will allow God to heal my broken heart and reveal himself to me in new ways. I will remind myself every day that God loves me more deeply than I can understand, that he knows best, and that I need to trust him more fully, especially when I don't understand. I will rest. We had no idea how God's story for our family would be written. But we knew then, and we know now, that we can trust him. It certainly didn't feel like it at the time, but our loss only made us that much more ready to welcome Eliana into our family through adoption 5 years later. Lisa and I have experienced God's compassion in the face of loss, and we have seen his power at work in the life of our family. There will be times in this life in which we face pain and tragedy, when the miracle that we prayed for doesn't happen. Whether it's miraculous healing or providing a job for a loved one who has been out of work, or seeing a friend who doesn't have a relationship with God find new life in Jesus. I think we long to see God do something amazing in our lives. We want to experience the mighty works of God. We want to see change take place in our lives. Ultimately, as believers in Jesus, we want to be able to tell people how incredible God is and what he has done. This morning, if you check out and don't remember anything else I say before you walk out those doors and go do whatever it is you're going to do the rest of today, I want you to remember this, that God's supply of compassion is never lacking, and his power is always full. When I think about this idea of power being always full, I think of the lock screen on my phone. I get to those points during the day when I see that my battery is getting smaller and smaller and my power is weakening. God's supply of compassion is never lacking, and his power is always full. So how do we respond when God doesn't seem to act on our prayers? I'm going to go ahead and tell the guys at the back, Angel, what I'm about to say is completely different than what I said at 9:30. Okay? The slides that you have back there no longer apply. All right? Sorry about that. How do we respond when God doesn't act? What do you do when you ask for great things according to God's compassion and you don't seem to be getting an answer? This morning, I really just want to give you four basic ideas of how can we move forward in our relationship with God when we experience tragedy, when we experience difficulty, when we are praying prayers of compassion, prayers of desperation, and it doesn't seem as though God is even hearing our prayers. The first idea is this: keep asking. Jesus taught his disciples that there were some things that God would only give in response to persistent prayer. Keep asking. Don't stop asking. For that thing that is a burden in your life, for that desire on your heart that just won't go away, keep asking. Jesus illustrated this. He taught this idea in a story that we find in Luke chapter 18. It says this, Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while. But finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people. But this woman's driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Keep asking." We don't pray to an unjust judge. We pray to God the Father Almighty, who loves his children. I think it's easy for us to separate God the Father Almighty and the relationship that we have with him as Father. There are other stories in the Bible where Jesus talks about your children asking you for something. If, as a father, when your children ask, I'll just go ahead and admit, it's easy for me sometimes just to give an immediate no without even considering what the request was. But as a loving father, I want what is best for my children. Your Father, God, hears your requests as well. And when you are persistent and continue to ask, your Father hears your requests. That doesn't mean that he's going to answer in exactly the way you think he should because you are persistent. But the instruction here is keep asking. Don't give up. Don't quit on those prayers just because you're not seeing the results right now. Secondly, understand that God often accomplishes his good plan through our unanswered prayers. Oof. This is a tough one. That God who loves me, and we just prayed, there's nothing I can do to make you love me more, and nothing I have done makes you love me less. This God who loves me, and I believe wants what's best for me and for you, and is in control of all things, often accomplishes his good plan through our unanswered prayers. This is a tough read, but Hebrews chapter 11 describes two groups of believers who received two completely different kinds of answers to their prayers. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 32, says, "How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. Others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated." And then he says in verse 39, "All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised." So here in Hebrews chapter 11, we see two groups of people, those whose prayers were answered the way we would always hope they are, and those whose prayers never seemed to be answered. And I look at this and go, please, dear Jesus, let me be in group one, right? What we see is that both of these groups are part of God's plan. Both of these groups were subject to the power of God. They were subject to the compassion of God, but their prayers weren't all answered in the same way. See, the goal of God's power is not primarily victory over my particular circumstance or your particular circumstance. But the goal of God's power is about the glory of His name on the earth. Sometimes He gives us victory over the obstacles, and sometimes not. But the reward that we have, whether we see the answer that we desired or not, is that we know there is more than just this life. There is more than just our current circumstance. There's more to a relationship with God and eternity with Him than what's going on in my life and even in my family right now. It's a tough truth and a tough instruction, but when we are praying prayers of faith based on the compassion and the power of God, we need to understand that God often accomplishes His good plan through our unanswered prayers. Third thing is this. I've said, keep asking. Understand that often God doesn't answer the way we believe He should. But the third thing is this. Never stop believing. And not in a journey kind of don't stop believing way. Thank you for chuckling for me. It's easy for us to believe in the compassion and the power, the love and grace of God when we are experiencing it in our circumstances. That makes sense. When I am basking in the power of God in my life, when I am walking in the grace of God and things are going well, it's easy for me to trust in the compassion and the power of God in my life. But what about when things are not going exactly the way that I want them to? It becomes more difficult to trust. It becomes more difficult to believe. It's a lot harder when we are praying prayers that seem to go unanswered. It's hard for us to live in the shadow of this idea that sometimes God's good plan is lived out in our unanswered prayers. But here's the truth. We can't interpret how God feels about us based on our circumstances. We can't interpret how God feels about us based on our circumstances. Remember the reminder, there's nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you have done that makes Him love you less. His presence and approval is all I need for everlasting joy. Is that true in my life and in yours? When things are not going according to plan? Man, that's hard. That's why we need to be reminded. That's why we need to preach the gospel to ourselves over and over. To know that just because it's not going the way I wanted it to go doesn't mean God's love for me has changed in any way. Just because it feels like my prayers are not being answered does not mean that God is any less compassionate toward me or any less powerful in my life. Never stop believing. See, the cross points us to the mysteries of how God works. Think about it. The cross of Jesus, the experience that we read about in the Gospels of the crucifixion. Those accounts appear to be pure evil. For those who experienced the day of Jesus' crucifixion, for those who experienced the trial, the beating, the journey, the execution, it was an evil, awful, miserable, excruciating experience. This thing that was evil, God took that and brought out of it the most beautiful thing that there is, salvation for all who would believe. God took what seemed to be broken, and out of it brought life. Friend, I want you to know that that's true in your life and in mine. God can take what seems to be broken and bring out of it new life. Does that mean that He's always going to show up in that way? No. Does that mean that His feeling about you changes based on your circumstance? No. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And even when everything is not as exactly as we believe it should be, He is still full of compassion. He is still all-powerful. Don't stop believing. It shouldn't surprise us that some of God's greatest works are beyond our comprehension. What I've ever chosen for my wife to have to go through the pain, the loss of miscarriage? No. What I have ever chosen for you to experience what you have experienced? No. But I can look at our situation and see how God has used that even to minister and influence the lives of others. God will use your experience, if you will allow Him, to be a blessing to those around you. Never stop believing. He is a loving Father, and sometimes loving fathers have to say no. Finally, abide in Jesus. Unanswered prayer often provides the opportunity to consider whether Jesus really is enough for you. See, to abide in him is to make our home in his love for us, to find hope in the plan that he is working through us, even in our pain. To abide in him is to find satisfaction in his presence in us, even if we have nothing else. Abide in him. Don't stop believing. Understand that sometimes he is at work in our unanswered prayers. And keep asking. In the first service, we looked at the story of a woman whose life had been tormented by an issue of hemophilia, bleeding that wouldn't stop. And this woman put her life on a course to collide with the life of Jesus in such a way that her life was forever changed. You can read about that in Luke chapter 8. Truly a medical miracle that we see explained out in the Gospels. This woman had suffered, but she had heard about a teacher who had turned water into wine, who had brought the dead back to life, who had restored sight, who had healed the sick, and she did everything that she could to put herself in his presence in hopes that her life might change. So, what about you today? Is there something that's holding you back from continuing to abide in Jesus? Is there a prayer that you're praying that feels like it's not being answered? Friend, my encouragement to you is don't stop believing. Keep asking. Understand that his answer may not be what you wanted it to be or expect it to be. But that doesn't mean that he's not at work. It doesn't mean that his compassion and power for you have changed based on your circumstance. Abide in him. Continue to pursue that deeper, richer, more meaningful relationship with him. You know what happened in the story of the woman with the issue of blood? She fought her way through the crowds that were pressing in on Jesus, and she reached out and she touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus felt the power come out of him and into her, and he said, "Who touched me?" And eventually they came around to understanding who it was and why it was done. And he said, "My daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." I want to encourage you and challenge you to continue battling toward the presence of Jesus. Continue pursuing a relationship with God that is deeper and richer. The relationship in which you can say, "As I pray, I will measure your compassion by the cross and the power, your power, by the resurrection." Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that means that his compassion never changes. His power never runs out. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for allowing me to call an audible in this service and speak those things that you have shown me, those things that you have allowed me to experience in understanding that things don't always go exactly according to my plan. When Walker was born, we had nothing. Our plans were nowhere near where I or we thought they should be. But you have been faithful. You continue to be faithful. God, I pray that each of us would trust in your faithfulness. Each of us would trust in your compassion toward us and your power. Your power to heal. Your power to make things happen for us. God, I pray that we would also trust that when those things are not happening, you are still alive and well. You are still at work. You are still as much our Father who loves us as you always have been and always will be. Help us to abide in you, Father. God, for those in this room this morning who have yet to place their trust in you and you alone, I pray that you would move and stir in their hearts in such a way that they would be drawn to your presence, that they would have an undeniable thirst to know you more, to trust in you, to repent of their sin and turn from it and commit to follow you. And for that person, your word declares to us, God, that for anyone who is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come, and now may they walk in new life in relationship with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, I'm gonna ask you to stand as we get ready to walk.